1202. That's 818-514-1202. Let us say hi to the producer Supreme Candace.
Hello everyone. Good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Truth Brothers Radio. How you fellas doing today?
We are great.
Yeah,
she
I'm
just
feel pretty
extra,
good.
Extra smooth on the phone. Yeah. Every time she gets on the mic, it's, "Hey everybody, how y'all doing? I'm Candace, and I'm here to get you there."
Yeah. She gets you there. So how's your week been?
Hey, no sense of complaining, right?
See,
there you go.
It is
right
what
there.
It is.
And yours?
Pretty good, man. My bad, I ain't been cutting.
You're good.
She's good. But no, pretty good, man. Just real quick, just Anthony Davis again. What's up, my man? He's playing Indiana today. Kentucky versus
Indiana.
They're
playing right now,
They're playing right now, man. I wish I was there to watch you, Anthony, man, but there's work to be done. But good luck, man. I know you're going to kill.
That's right. That's right.
Go Wildcats. And what's up with you, man? How was your week?
Man, my week was okay till Friday. Woke up to that snow, but you know, besides that, everything's been pretty good.
I mean, we
cannot complain.
Yeah, we had a pretty good. I mean, so far so good as far as this winter weather supposed to go.
Yeah, we got 40s coming as of tomorrow. So yeah, this whole week is supposed to be pretty nice. So we getting off pretty lucky. I'm not gonna complain. All I gotta do is make it to March.
There you go.
That's all you gotta do.
Yeah.
Oh, and also we would like to thank everybody out there who has given us such positive feedback.
We
really do appreciate it. You know, I said on the first episode that if we ever got any negative mail that I was going to read it. It is not that I'm not keeping my word to y'all out there. It's just we're not getting any. That's no lie. We're not getting any.
Yeah. And really with that, man, like Big Brother just said, man, we really, really appreciate all the love that everybody has shown us, everybody has given us. It's overwhelming because, I never thought that we'd get the love we got, man.
Yeah, we are
getting a million years.
Matter of fact, man, we're starting to get comments from other shows on Blog Talk saying that they done checked us out and that they really digging what we're doing. So, you know, that's real. Real, real nice. Thank y'all.
Yeah, that's because we the new kids on the block, so they love us now. Just for now. But once we cross that line, yeah, they're going to hate
not
us
so
again.
So much.
First
right?
time, the first time we go viral.
Yeah, and it's coming. But real quick, though, not only giving us a call at the Truth Brothers number, also, you know, we will be monitoring our Facebook page. The Truth Brothers will be on Facebook today, as usual. We will also be hitting up the emails or whatever. That's wewanttruth@AT&T.net.
That's right. And we're on Twitter. Give us a holler there. I'm telling you, we are everywhere. And I know a couple of people have been asking me how come we're not on iTunes yet. It just takes a little bit of time for the episodes to load up. from Blog Talk to iTunes, but everything is set. It's just a matter of getting that stuff up there, and they're working on it right now.
Right,
so
you
will be able to get any episodes on iTunes.
Right, but we just want y'all really just sit back, enjoy. We got a great show for y'all.
Oh,
today.
Real great,
man,
show.
Man, you're gonna love everything. And everybody, your favorite commercial will be playing today. I know which one you're talking about, but you will hear it. I can't give it out for the people who haven't heard it yet. But it's hilarious. You're going to love it. It's coming real soon.
That's
so you
right.
will hear it today.
That's right. Before we get into the terrible truth news, this portion of Truth Brothers is being brought to you by Jizzle's Hand Patties and Fruit Punch. And now the news.
This is the terrible truth with your terrible anchors, Ray and Devon.
Good afternoon, everybody. Okay, I'm sorry, man, but
this is CNN.
Right. Anyway, oh, man, I had some jokes, but I can't say those. All right, we're going to start things off with some levity. Actually, a New Jersey woman is charged for injecting a man's penis with silicone, right?
What?
Yes, it gets better. But
wait a minute, huh?
I gotta read the story for you to get it. But a New Jersey woman gets charged for injecting a man's penis with silicone.
I take it that's a husband, boyfriend. I'm just saying, at least she cared enough to try to make it better instead of just leaving him.
I've always thought silicone was soft.
No.
Oh, they got hard silicone?
Yeah. I mean, you can use silicone to weather strip your windows and stuff, so it's soft, but then it gets firm.
Well, there you go. That might be the problem.
I guess
you will be got for the last time around here, John. I swear to God.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, a 34-year-old New Jersey woman injected a man's penis with silicone, killing him.
You think? This is the last stand.
You gonna get it, but I swear to God, I don't think it's gonna last. I won't last that long. But anyway, the Essex County Prosecutor office says Casia Riviera gave a 22-year-old Justin Street the injection.
Wait. How old is she?
She's 34.
Okay, he shouldn't have problems. He's 22.
Hey man, ED is real. ED is real.
Oh, he's a little too young to be sitting in the tub.
Hey, man. ED is real. Cialis comes in all sets of flavors.
I guess so. Wow.
But,
I went young and you were disappointed me for the last time.
I'm going to be a cougar and I can't get scratched. Anyway. Casia Riviera gave 22-year-old Justin Street the injections. Such injections often are used to enlarge body parts such as the buttocks.
Yeah.
Street died the day after his injection. His death was ruled a homicide following an investigation and a medical examiner's determination he died of a silicone embolism.
There you go.
Riviera has been charged with manslaughter. She also faces charges involving the unauthorized practice of medicine. So she wasn't even a doctor.
But she played one in the bedroom.
Oh, yeah. Put that on. Wow. Gets the people going. She was arrested Friday and is being held on $75,000 bail. It is unclear if she has a lawyer. No telephone listing could be found for her home in East Orange. You know where East Orange is at, New Jersey.
All righty then.
Yep, that goes. Yeah.
Wow, that just boy.
It's hard out here. Well, not for him more, or it never was. But,
but
you know what I'm saying.
What's that song?
You're right.
They keep on using me until you use me up.
Dude. But you, real quick though, you heard about the lady who was injecting guys and putting Fixer Flat and all that other stuff into people's butt to make their butts big. No joke. I saw this on Dr. Phil maybe a couple days ago.
You would inject someone with Fixer Flat.
Would I do it?
No, I'm saying.
But they were using some it was a lady who, again, wasn't a doctor, and the people didn't want to pay to get the Kim Kardashian treatment. So she went over to the BP. Yeah.
She went to the track auto and grabbed some fixer flat. Like, oh, yeah, just pump up tires. It'll pump your ass up easy.
Yeah. She went to Backdoor Bob's. Backdoor Bob's
facelifts and fixer flat.
Yep.
We'll fix you in no time flat.
Wow.
But, yeah, man, I guess that economy is hitting everybody, man.
I guess so. Okay. Well, now, also in the news, police evict occupied Boston protesters, 64 arrested.
Wow.
So last night in Boston, police arrested 46 people Saturday morning after they swept through the downtown city square in Boston, evicting the Occupy protesters in camp. Then they've been there since late September.
Right,
so
right around when it
again,
started.
The whole plan is just going right in motion.
Yeah.
Like last week, you know, we talked about how they had a whole like 5 or 6 cities all at once at the same time, just start sweeping people out. Well, Boston was getting along with their protesters more than a lot of other cities were. But you know, I guess the word finally came down that all that getting along can stop.
Wow.
And they got to go. So they swept them out.
So what's next on the agenda though? What do they go to? What's the next move? Because remember we were talking.
A lot of them are talking about laying low until the spring, but I mean they're gonna be back. They're going to be back. Besides that, the election is next year, and I'm sure they plan on injecting themselves right into the heart of that election.
They have to. Yeah.
They do.
I mean,
matter of fact, for me, the next part of that movement is they got to go from protesting to a strategy to create more change, and part of that has got to be the ballot box. They're going to have to get political and start voting and start registering people to vote and start choosing sides,
right,
more or less.
Right, because remember one of the people who had wrote into the show and said that they just seem like they don't have any direction to, you know, and I don't know exactly where they're going to.
When you're talking about this type of equality, when you're talking about all the equality in this country, it's gonna hit on a whole bunch of different things, but it's all the same. The rich are getting richer, and the poor and the middle class is getting screwed over. So,
no doubt.
I mean, you
no
can,
doubt.
With all the different topics, you can say what you want. It's still crystallizing into one thing, man. The rich people are getting richer. Matter of fact, they had a map up on I think it was the Huffington Post, and the map was saying it was taking the richest 1% of the nation, and was instead of terms of money, they were showing landmass. That if the money were the landmass, this is how much the 1% would own of this country, and it was like 3/4 of the country.
Oh, wow.
It came down to the 99% would have owned like Texas and Florida.
Dang.
So it's just trying to show you a different representation of just how much money is being massed out there, and it's not funneling down to anybody.
I'm there with you. I understand. I mean, it's just, I hope something happens, man, because I have a lot of people, I have a lot of friends, I have a lot of family that needs to actually be down there during the movement. So.
Yeah, and I mean, even if you don't feel like you got to, even if you support them and don't feel like you got to go down there, at some point you got to start registering people to vote.
Yeah,
you're going to have to get out there and vote.
Yeah, no doubt. Well,
also real quick, like to say congratulations to Mumia Abu-Jamal.
He has been
taken off of death row and has been given life in prison.
It's better than seeing my brother dead, you know what I'm saying? But, I mean, I'm happy that Mumia, I'm happy.
It's a long process, and that's part of the process. You got to get him off death row, and now you can start pushing for another trial or push to get his sentence commuted or something. But that was step one. You got it, because he was scheduled to get bumped for a while now.
Right,
congratulations.
Right. Yeah, bro. And think he'll come out and show these new Black Panthers what it is?
If it's got anything to do with us, he will, because okay. I mean, we will be playing clips from his commentaries. It's only we're gonna use it when it's conducive to the topic that we're talking about.
Okay,
you know, so cool. That's coming.
Well, speaking of corruption, Rob Blagojevich hit with a 14-year prison sentence, huh? And I'm sure everybody knows who Rob Blagojevich is. So I'm not even gonna get to that. Former Governor Rob Blagojevich was sentenced Wednesday to 14 years in federal prison, capping one of the state's worst political scandals and humbling a controversial and defunct figure who rolled into office as a champion of reform. So basically, I mean, I'm gonna stop right there. Basically, we all know the story. He tried to sell Barack Obama's Senate seat and got caught.
That's what he was convicted for.
Right.
I don't understand the way they were describing how he sold the seat.
Did he sell it? That's
one. He didn't get anything.
Did he sell the seat though?
No,
that's exactly.
It's not like he went on Craigslist and said,
Barack,
you know,
Obama
for sale Senate seat. You know, we'll take cash or trade for a Harley.
Right.
Right, you know, he didn't do that. But I mean, I'm a little bit confused. I'm only a little bit confused on one thing. Say I'm the governor, or Barack Obama becomes president, his seat becomes vacant. Because I'm the governor, I get to put somebody into that spot.
Right?
Why would I put somebody into the spot that ain't gonna back me when I run for reelection or support me when I want to push an agenda through?
Well,
it makes no sense to me.
Well, that has nothing. My question is, if you can have somebody to back you, that's no problem. But when you have this person back you, are you saying, okay, the only way I know if you backing me is pay me a certain amount of money?
Yeah, but it was about promising to raise funds for your campaign. That was the supposed crime. And far as I knew, they all do that.
Yeah, but he got caught. That's like if
I'm saying I've never heard it. I've never known it to be a crime to say I put a political ally in a certain position. When I run for reelection, he's going to raise money for me. That they do that all the time.
Yeah, but I mean, the thing
when Obama, when Rahm Emanuel was running for mayor.
Right.
When he was running for mayor. Other political friends from when he was in the Congress and around the country came to help raise money for him. So then if he turns around and says, okay, you're a good person, I want to put you in charge of Parks and Recreation, what they do.
But doesn't that kind of like sound like it's a different thing to me, kind of? It's like on one hand, it's a difference between saying, okay, I'm going to have you, you know, raise money for the whatever versus, all right, I will give you this seat if you give me X amount of dollars.
Okay. Well, I guess. I mean,
that's
because they're saying that Jesse Jackson Jr. people came to him and said, we can raise $1 million worth of support for you.
But I think that was a cover up, because I think
he wasn't going to get paid cash money in his pocket.
It wasn't going to happen.
It was for his campaign.
The way the story has been trickled down to me was, all right, now whoever has the most money, if Mark Cuban would have ran and gave him some money, I'm sure Mark Cuban would be your senator right now.
No,
I'm just
it
saying.
Wasn't like that. No,
I'm just
he had a list. He had a list of people who he was considering for the spot.
Okay,
Roland Burris was one of them. Yeah. Jesse Jackson Jr. was one of them, and I want to say Alexis Janulius. I think
wasn't that? Yeah, the
I
lady.
Think was one of them. But I mean, I don't understand.
When they going to say? Wasn't Oprah supposed to be in there too?
No, Oprah.
Yeah,
no.
I heard.
But if I'm just saying, I mean, if I have a political position,
uh-huh,
and I put you in, if I put you in charge of the parks,
right,
the garbage, streets and sanitations, I make you in charge of it, and then when I run for reelection and you support the other guy, I look like a fool.
No doubt, you're absolutely you. You are correct.
That's what I'm getting at. I mean, if I'm going to appoint, and he has to appoint somebody to the seat. It happens all the time. Republicans put Republicans into those seats
because they know that they will back them. I don't
understand exactly what the crime was.
Well,
now then they said he tried to extort the Children's Hospital out of a campaign fund, out of campaign contributions, but they never did it, and
right.
then they still got what they wanted.
Right.
So
right,
I don't.
Right.
I'm just confused.
I mean,
if anybody out there can straighten me out, I definitely would appreciate it. Why don't you give us a call at 818-514-1202?
Right. And the other thing was basically do you think that the punishment fits the crime? 14
no.
years.
No.
I'm like,
I mean that Conrad Murray got
yeah.
less time
and he
than
killed
LaVoy
the king.
Did, and he killed somebody.
He killed the king. I'm still tearing up about that. But because the way the story actually played out and the way they were saying it, like his daughters was in there like, please, just show leniency to my father. And his wife came in and the judge was like, hey, don't care. He screwed the people of Illinois over,
which is,
blah, blah,
which
blah.
Is, which is fine. I mean, I've got no problem with what the judge handed out. I agree with you. I think if you kill somebody, you should get more time than that. But, again...
Just,
you know,
that's
who am
here
I?
Nor there,
right, that's here nor there. But I tell you what, let's go into a quick break, and then we'll be back with more Terrible Truth News and Truth Brothers.
We don't want no weapon. No weapon. Don't need no ammunition.
No ammunition.
It's killing of the nation.
Truth Brothers Radio.
You know what time it is, straight for the street.
Truth Brothers Radio.
Look, crack, don't mess with that. Speed, don't mess with that. Quack, don't mess with that. Free, don't mess with that. Knowledge, yeah, mess with that. God, yeah, mess with that. College, yeah, mess with that. Dog, yeah, mess with that. Feeling, don't mess with that. Crying, don't mess with that. Feeling, don't mess with that. Lying, don't mess with that. Meditation, mess with that. Forgiveness, mess with that. Education, mess with that. Hip hop, we loving that. I rhyme for respect, y'all.
Truth Brothers Radio, back with more Terrible Truth News. That was great. No, basically, everybody knows that Rob Blagojevich, if you're just now tuning in to the Truth Brothers, Rob Blagojevich basically sentenced to 14 years in prison.
All right.
And ladies are injecting men's penises with
with
silicone.
With silly putty, right. Right. Okay, here's one, man. This one kind of gets my goat. Sandusky's wife angry over false accusations.
Sandusky's wife is
Jerry
mad.
Sandusky's wife, Dottie,
released
a public statement Thursday afternoon through her attorney, Joseph Amendola. Jerry Sandusky has now been charged with more than 50 counts of child sex abuse after two more allegations. After two more alleged victims have come forward, she says, I want to thank our children, our family, our extended family, and former Second Mile participants.
And
I'm sorry. Yeah.
No, you're good. For what?
For the sport.
Oh,
I guess for looking out for us. But she goes further to say that all our families and all our friends for standing by us through these difficult times. Jerry and I want to express our sorrow for all the hurt that has come to those who have supported us and our beloved Penn State and state college communities. They're the victims.
Of course.
She wants to thank them for standing by them through these terrible times.
Yeah. It's hard for her, man.
This is what ticks me off, man. Have you read any of the grand jury? Because you can get all of that stuff online. All of it is public record.
No, I didn't. I've just been keeping up through newspapers and
Joker.
News. Yeah.
Okay. Let's go with the two recent allegations right now.
Okay.
One of them said he took him to a bowl game, gave him whiskey.
The little boy.
Got him tipsy, and then let's horse around. You be the horse, I'm going to be the jockey.
Oh, literally, let's saddle up.
Let's
saddle
up.
I'm going to ghost ride you.
Yeah, I'm going to ghost ride you. Yeah. Yeah,
nice.
this Joker. Then the other kids say he took him to his house. In the basement of this Joker's house, he's got a bedroom, a rape room.
That's what he called it.
He called it the bedroom, but
no,
the children called it the rape room, where
that's
the raping
the
gets
called.
Done. That's right.
This is where the fun happens.
This is where the fun happens. And he said the dude said he took him down there, and he proceeds to start abusing the kid, and the kid is yelling for help because he knows the wife is upstairs. So he's calling and begging for help, and she doesn't hear it. I guess she's dusting or watching as the world turns.
Whatever.
And that's
the boy
band. Yeah, that's what she says she's upset about, that these accusations came out and they're just totally not true, because if she would have heard him crying, she would have brought some KY.
What I'm saying, like, really, dude, you don't hear a little kid hollering like,
oh,
hey,
he heard.
That's what I'm saying.
Look,
that's a joke.
The whole support system down there was just geared around we know what he doing, but he could mess up this money, so we gon' it ain't there.
Right.
And it's disgusting. It's flat out disgusting.
Here's my thing. There's no way you don't hear a little boy down there like, hey, this big man is on me, so get him off. But she's
She knows what's good. When he came to the house. Right, when he comes by with the kids, she knows. Uh-oh.
Little black guy.
Little Jerry. Oh, Jerry at it again.
Oh, well, this just makes it better for me later.
Right.
No silicone needed here.
It's just absolutely terrible.
I mean, and it is, man. So, I mean, first off, we're not making, we're not trying to be, make levity, because it's a very serious situation, because I couldn't picture myself or none of my kids going through that, because I don't know what I'd do. So, we really just want to say we feel bad for the children and the people that's going through this right now. And prayers out to y'all, man. I hope everything turns out in your favor. I really do. That man needs to burn, man.
Here's what killed me. They rearrest the guy Thursday.
Rearrest him?
Yeah, because these are two new allegations.
Was he out on bail?
He was out on bail.
I thought they said he didn't have, his bail wasn't, he couldn't post bail.
No. He posted bail and posted a low one.
No. I know that.
The judge in the first set of cases gave him a real low bail. Why? Because the judge was part of the Second Mile organization.
Got it.
Got it. They say that Second Mile organization, man, was into so many. They was into real estate. He said they was raking in money hand over fist, and it would just all funnel through the organization and then out through the business ties.
Right.
And helping out the kids was just the guys to work all of this the way they needed to work it.
Man, I'm willing to believe that it's something else is going to come out. Like, maybe they probably been doing this to kids for well over 60 years.
Maybe.
Well over 60. Like,
maybe.
This before that Jerry took over.
Well, he never took over.
I mean, before Jerry got his hands on him.
Well, he wanted to take over. He wanted to take over the Penn State program,
right?
But Paterno was like, "No," and that's probably because
he knew. Yeah, he knew.
Right.
Yeah, he knew
because he knew, and wouldn't let him be the heir apparent. So, the killer part is, okay, they rearrest him Thursday, and he had to post a $250,000 bail, not a bond.
So
he didn't have to come up with 10%. He had to come up with 250 large.
Okay.
and they liquidated some of their assets. This is how deep their pockets are. He liquidated some of the assets and was out by Friday.
Of course. That's how we
roll. They liquidated some part of their house and some real estate that they had.
That's all. And then came out with 250 yards.
Yep.
And they not broke.
Yep. And the killer part is when he was getting arraigned, he was in a Penn State jogging suit.
Yeah, of course. Why would I come in that, dude?
Man,
come on,
okay.
Man.
If you're the chancellor at that college, would you let this fool wear that?
No,
right?
Hey,
man. But you know, we are Penn State, so
there you go.
Know, what can I tell
yep.
you?
So, oh God, yeah, just everywhere. But
yeah, I know that's why it's the terrible truth.
Speaking of that, then let's go with AIDS group seek LA vote on condoms in porn films.
Yes. Okay.
Yes. Voters in Los Angeles, home to the U.S. porn industry, I didn't even know that, could soon be asked to decide whether condoms should be required in adult films to reduce sexually transmitted diseases.
Okay.
The AIDS Healthcare Foundation said on Monday it submitted far more than the required number of signatures on a petition for a public ballot that could go before voters on June 2012. If the signatures are officially certified and a vote is held, Los Angeles residents will be asked whether adult film producers must require the use of condoms on porn sets as a condition for getting movie permits. Most major porn companies shoot films without condoms, and some argue that using latex would take away from the fantasy appeal of their product.
Oh, really?
The multi-billion, let me continue to say this one more time. The multi-billion dollar U.S. industry is largely based in Los Angeles, and producers say they might leave if new laws make condoms use unavoidable. Now, before we get deep into that, let's just touch on this for a second, right? Now, you're L.A., we're Penn State. Now, if they say, hey, man, if you got, what's the porn industry names? Only one I know, whatever, is it the Red Light District or something like that?
No, the Red Light District was a terminology used for something. That's used for, prostitution.
No, it's one that came out with the wrestler name, China. Wasn't they funded through them and gave you the Paris Hilton?
Oh, you saying that was the name of a company? I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Know.
You know, whatever. That's what I heard.
Whatever. I mean,
but anyway,
you hold on. You need a name of one or something just for your example.
Yeah, just for an example.
What is it? Porner Brothers. That's
a real
name of a company. Porner Brothers.
You kidding?
No, I'm not.
Okay, Porner Brothers. Porner Brothers. Are in L.A., right?
Right.
They say, hey, man, you're going to make us use condoms. We're bringing you a multi-billion-dollar business. If you don't tell – if we have to, we leaving. Do you tell them, hey, man, look, don't do this. Go ahead and spread your disease to these ladies. They want it. Is that what you do?
Well, I'm not going to say that. This one is kind of weird to me because, quiet as kept, man, the porn industry, they was using condoms for a long time. They was using condoms in a lot of their films. They were the first to jump in front of that AIDS scare, man. When back in the 80s, when one of their megastars, John Holmes, died.
See, I don't know.
He died. You young. Yeah,
well, I don't. You know.
But yeah, it was just a porn star name. You know who Harry Dude is, right? The y'all know who I'm talking about. He's a porn star, but he was on a couple of reality shows where they stayed in the house.
Look, Ron Jeremy, man.
Right. Everybody knows who Ron Jeremy is. Ron Jeremy was a big star. This dude was bigger than him.
I didn't
both
even
ways.
Know Ron Jeremy was big. I didn't.
Yeah, Ron Jeremy is. Yeah,
he's huge in the porn industry.
Yeah.
Huge
I mean, there's been documentaries on this dude, man, because
really?
He was the first one to actively seek out acceptance through the mainstream. So he was being used as the conduit to which porn stars and regular stars could hang out. You know, that's a regular thing now.
No, I
don't. Yeah, porn stars and regular stars hang out on a regular now. Porn stars can do bit have been known for doing bit parts in movies, in mainstream movies. Matter of fact, remember the Samuel L. Jackson Bernie Mac movie where they was the
Soul Brothers, Soul Men. Right.
Yeah. Porn star Vanessa Del Rio had a cameo part in that movie.
Again,
yeah, you like yeah, whatever.
Only way I can know if you're a porn star if you got them silicone injections in your buttocks. Because I mean, cause seriously, dude, I can't tell if you're only. There's only few porn stars I know, and they're mostly the what's the white girl, Jenna Jameson.
Okay, right. But she's mainstream accepted, and all of this is through what Ron Jeremy did. But when the AIDS epidemic hit, this dude named John Holmes was like one of the first ones to go, and he was like a porn legend or whatever. But
he went through AIDS.
Yeah, he went through. I mean, early AIDS. We talking AIDS when like Rock Hudson was getting it.
I got you.
It was still like, oh my God, and the porn industry, man, they were voluntarily using condoms and making sure, and they get tested more than they get tested more than like. Any industry I can think of right now.
That's what I was asking. Like, I guess I know, don't they get tested like every few weeks or something like that?
Or something like that, yeah. I mean,
they
get tested. I mean, they're very serious about, they don't play around with that
you
stuff.
Shouldn't.
Which is why the story kind of throws me, because they usually try to be on top of that stuff. So if L.A. County says, okay, yeah, you got to use this. I don't even understand why they're making a big deal about
because it. Because I guess they just, a lot of females, like, are allergic to the latex. Maybe.
Yeah, probably not.
Or maybe they just, you got the nasty ones, just, I don't indulge in such.
I mean, quiet is kept. It's a $1 billion industry for a reason. You don't have a $1 billion industry that would kill its stars through sexually transmitted diseases. They don't
That's
play that.
Problem.
So this we can't do that. I don't get, because it seemed like they was at the forefront of a lot of this stuff way before now. So that kind of throws me off.
Why are they considering them to be stars? Why are they called porn stars? They're not.
Because there's a lot of people who follow that industry.
No, the industry, but the industry
popular,
is nothing but, it's nothing but,
dude,
the, no. Truth be told, I don't, okay, maybe it's just me, maybe this is me, I'm sorry, but don't do it for me.
Okay,
that's
fine, but we're talking about something where they're making films.
Right.
Just like we're going to be talking about an hour or two, this garbage music. It might be garbage. It may not be something you can relate to, but there are
people
who
follow
it.
Certain
and
people.
When,
okay.
And when I can sit there and say, I can guarantee that X amount of people will buy anything with me on it, then I demand more money for.
I got you.
And matter of fact, I mean, you know, it's kind of this is how messed up society is to me. The porn industry is one of the few industries where it's guaranteed that a woman is going to make more than a man. Women make the money in porn.
I can believe
that. Men don't make nowhere near as much money as women do in porn.
I can believe that. I think that it's because women are attracted to women. Some women are attracted to women, and men are attracted to women. So
no, women don't necessarily buy porn. Men buy porn.
Really?
Men buy porn. Men
really?
Buy porn. Yeah,
this
really.
New millennium with most.
No, I'm not talking. I'm just saying this is just
in the majority. You saying the majority?
This is just a fact, right? I mean, men buy porn. I mean, that's not saying women don't buy it.
I know.
But the majority of your customer base is men. That's
why
That's why women are making more. Men are paying to
right,
see these
cause I was
women.
About to say,
you're
yeah.
not paying to see a dude.
Right.
Now,
that's what I was
not.
About to say. Right. Because like, who you don't catch a dude going and say, hey, let me get that Bob and Dylan.
Right.
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
So yeah,
so
nobody wanna.
Like
right.
you just said, Jana Jemison, Kim Eternity, all these people.
Who
they are
is Kim Eternity?
A porn star.
Is she old?
No.
Okay. Never mind. Go ahead. I was if
Whatever,
you said Pinky,
man.
Then.
Well, there you go, Pinky. Whatever. I'm just saying.
I just
look, man. I know, man.
Okay.
It's touchy here.
Hey,
Candace, how you doing?
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
This
doing
is
over
a,
here.
But we're not being disrespectful. We're just talking about the industry. These are people who are famous for what they do.
No doubt. I mean,
granted, you don't want them giving out the acting awards at your kids' play. You don't want that, but I mean, they are known for what they do,
no doubt.
When you're known for what you do, you can command more money.
But I feel what you're saying. I don't see the big deal over whatever. But hey, that's what it is. What it is. Truth Brothers Radio.
There's no controversy to it.
It's no controversy. It's just, it's not. I don't get the big deal as far as why you get paid so much money just to do this. You see what I'm saying? Just because you are laying down or whatever with a dude or another female, and you get slapped with cash. Like, my thing is,
look. 818-514-1202. Someone call in and help set us straight on this thing. We gonna go to a commercial and we'll be back with more Truth Brothers after this.
I got a million ways to get it. Choose one. Hey, bring it back. Now double your money.
Truth Brothers Radio. Truth Brothers Radio.
Leon St. James for Anaconda Malt Liquor.
With a delectable combination of the finest barley and hops, it's the only malt liquor that carries the seal of excellence from Uncle Sam himself. And when you pop the top, the panties drop.
Is that Anaconda Malt Liquor? The only malt liquor to be approved by the United States government?
That's right, Anaconda Malt Liquor.
Anaconda Malt Liquor.
Anaconda Malt Liquor, brewed in Piedmont, Georgia.
Truth Brothers Radio.
The new moon rode high in the crown of the metropolis, shining like who on top of this? People was tussling, arguing and bustling. Gangsters are Gotham, hardcore hustling. I'm wrestling with words and ideas. My ears is pricked, seeking what will transmit, describe to the vibe, transcript. Yo, this ain't no time where the usual.
Truth Brothers Radio, and we're back.
All right, we're back, and also give us a call, 818-514-1202, 818-514-1202. Hit us up on the Truth Brothers Facebook page. Send us an email at wewanttruth@att.net, and truth is spelled again, T-R-U-F. And you can also hit us up on Twitter. We're everywhere.
There you go.
Even the porn industry. I'm blowing her eardrums out. I'm sorry over there.
All right.
But anyway, don't hit me with the nah. Like you was about to say something about Truth Brothers traveling into Truth Brother, whatever industry, like the Porner Brothers.
I wasn't gonna say nothing like that.
I thought you were going there.
No, but you know, maybe sometime in the future, maybe it'll be who to interview somebody from that industry, so you can get a better understanding of whatever it's like. I mean,
I would love
that's
that.
Why we Truth Brothers. You're not scared to talk to a porn star.
I'd take one on the day.
I hope you would. I ain't asking to have a guest appearance. But I mean, maybe we can work on getting one, you know, and then we can ask them some questions and then open them up.
Sure, that sounds wonderful.
So.
How do you like that, Candace? How would you like to interview a
She's
porn
like,
star?
Whoopee.
Yep.
Yeah, great.
Let me pull my page.
We can interview a porn star, or then we can interview someone like Newt Gingrich, because Newt Gingrich is now your Republican front runner, and he thinks he's a porn star.
Well, Christmas so, album. You're a mean one.
So there you go.
Gingrich. But anyway.
There you go. But, yeah, he's the front runner, and I love the slick way he got around what he said last week. You know, what he said last week is, hey, child labor laws are stupid and that, you know, poor kids need to be shown positive role models for working because they have none in their homes.
Ooh.
And that when they're, like, out of school, you know, what we could do is fire all the union janitors and have one master janitor and let the kids sweep up after school or during school and that. And then they could get money because the only way they get money is through illegal things. So they don't have anyone to show them that, hey, if you work, you get money. This is Newt Gingrich said that. Yeah.
Your Republican
front runner. That's right.
Is talking about slavery. That's, I mean, yeah, that's cool.
But he's
vote new.
So get this. So he gets with Duckhead. What's your boy Duckhead?
Donald Trump.
Yeah, he gets with Donald Trump, and Donald Trump is going to be hosting one of the Republican debates.
Really?
Yeah. And three of the people said, oh no, if he's doing this, I'm out.
Yeah.
We're not turning this into the Apprentice Politician Edition.
Exactly.
Right. That's exactly
so
what it is.
John Huntsman,
I'm sure
Ron
Paul.
Mitt
Romney's going?
Mitt Romney said, nope,
yeah,
you can count us out
it.
Of that. We're not even doing
yeah,
that.
Yeah, why?
So get this. So him and Newt gets together, and Donald Trump says this week that he's going to come up with a special program to help these poor underprivileged kids, and we're going to make them apprentice.
Yeah,
that's what he said. I think that no, that is not the proper usage of the word, but that's what he said.
Yeah,
they're going to become the apprentice, and what he said is he's going to take 10 lucky darkies from the projects.
Pretty much.
Pretty much 10 lucky darkies from the projects, and they're going to get to be apprentices at his company, and this will help
mm-hmm.
them learn that, you know,
yes,
this
sir.
Is what happens to people with money.
Yep. It's too bad you never have none.
Exactly.
But here's,
exactly.
Here's some rope. Now, as you can see, it's tied into a nice-looking loop for you guys. Don't mess up. I don't.
Wow.
That is.
Yep. So he's backing old Newt up. Now, again, just the fact that Newt Gingrich is the Republican front runner right now says volumes about
the Republican Party.
Here's a guy that, as he was prosecuting and tormenting Bill Clinton on his scandals, this man was cheating on his wife who was in the hospital sick with cancer.
Yeah, cuz what can she do
and,
for me now?
And was quoted for saying that, you know, he at the time when he was the Speaker of the House.
Yeah, I remember.
And was the most powerful person, the most powerful Republican in the government at that time. He had aspirations then on being president. And he was known for saying that his current wife was too old and ugly to be the first lady. So he was going to have to.
Nah,
so,
While
she was in the hospital trying to recoup, he came in and was like, yeah, you need to sign these divorce papers.
Oh, you know what? I did hear that.
Yeah.
I did hear about
yeah.
that. Yeah.
yeah.
Okay. Well, man, what better way to
yeah.
serve
He's
up?
Also just got – he got caught up this week for lying on the food stamp program, saying that there's so much fraud, waste, and abuse in the food stamp program. And he said that – he said this now. People were taking Hawaiian vacations – off their food stamp card.
Really?
Yeah, like they was
really
they went to American Airlines. That's
who,
right.
Oh, you know, my bad. Real quick, before we get into that, well, I'll get back to that real fast. So somebody's buying American Airlines. I don't know if you heard about that.
Okay.
Yeah, TP is buying American Airlines. But anyway.
Toilet paper?
Toilet paper is buying American Airlines.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
that's later.
I know that.
But anyway, right. You made me lose my train of thought that fast.
Okay, well,
yeah,
again, getting back on old Gingrich here. Yeah, he said that there's so much fraud, waste, and abuse in the food stamp program, and he called Obama the food stamp president.
Remember?
Wow.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yes, he did.
Because they had a shirt a long time ago said with a food stamp and had Obama's face on it when Obama was first running for president,
mm-hmm.
and it said now he can have his face on a bill. And that was crazy, too, because they said everybody was like, okay, as soon as he gets in, all he's going to do is hand out food stamps to all the black people, and which is crazy. But to get back to what I was about to say, how can you go to a plane to any airline and say, all right, I want to go to Hawaii. Here's my link card.
Right.
Swipe
because,
it.
You know, the link program doesn't work that way. You can only get
food
and you can only get certain type. He was alleging that people were buying alcohol with the things, that people was trading it in for money, buying cars with the stuff, and the program doesn't work like that, and you don't get that much money.
You don't really get that much.
Right.
Who says, you know what, I know my kids are hungry, but man, if this Grey Goose don't look good, let's just go ahead and swipe for the Grey Goose.
Right.
We'll let them, we'll figure crackers are good. Don't worry about it.
You'd be surprised how many people actually sell their link card.
I'm sure, you know what, here's the thing.
Sell,
I'm sure that
the
does
card,
happen.
But you can't sell it for, you can't even sell it for Hawaiian vacation.
No,
right.
You can't do that.
You're not
going to
get
an over in Belgium.
I'm sure that like, you can get,
but
some people sell it because if, like, they know that my kids need something outside of the food, like in case the kid needs, I don't want to say
or
shoes
or coat, like
right? And I'm sure that people do sell, like, man, look, all I have is this link, you know, whatever, and they don't want to ask somebody for some money or things like that. So what they do is, look, I'll give you X amount of dollars if you give me this, and then I can just go buy Tommy a coat,
right?
Which I have no problem with.
I mean,
that.
Well, I mean, still, you're not getting that much to be able to do too much of anything with it besides get food. And, I mean, even if you, as you saying, as people are trying to sell the card to
trade
get other
it,
things, or trade it to get other things, that means the person who's trading it still has to get food.
Right. That's all they can do with it.
That's all you can do with it.
Yeah. So, I mean, this dude's an idiot, but what else can you do? I mean, I don't see him winning at all. And
Oh, no. He's got too much in his closet. And matter of fact, Nancy Pelosi said Wednesday that, if he's going to be the front runner, that's fine. Because when he was Speaker of the House, he was also censured for ethics violations, the largest ethics violations in history back in the 90s.
Oh,
and she was on the committee when that happened. So she was like, yeah, I know where all the bodies are.
As soon as
you become the nominee, we got commercials for days for you.
Oh yeah, that is wonderful. We love it. I kind of want him to win because I know it'll be just my opinion, because I got to start announcing what's my opinion now. But I believe Mitt will be will be more competition to Obama than
not at all.
I
not
seriously
at all.
Believe that.
You want to know why he won't be? Because he's been on both sides of every argument since he's been a politician.
No
doubt. He's been for this and against this all at the same time. And again, the first thing Obama would do if he has to run against him is he going to hang the health care bill
right
on his shoulders,
right?
Because the current health care bill is pretty much based on what he did in Massachusetts.
No doubt. I understand that part. But then again, you got everything Newt is throwing at you on top of everything that is buried in this closet. To me, I think.
Well,
one
again,
counts,
right.
One
well, then Newt is going to take out Romney before both of the, all
yeah.
of them are dusting each other off way before it even
right.
gets to Obama.
Right.
So this is the best play for Obama.
Yeah.
None of those jokers are
but
capable.
But you know what?
And
another
him.
Thing that I was having a conversation with my pops about a week ago, and we was like, you know what's crazy is a lot of people, as far as our community, whatever, I'm going to have to say this, we tend to forget everything that Barack Obama has done for us during his time in the White House. So now he has to go back and dig up everything that he's done to read when it's election time to serve that right back up to you to say, yeah, I did this. I got the health care. I extended your unemployment, XYZ,
mm-hmm.
just to get you to remember, because a lot of people have
trust me,
towards that man
no,
right now.
Trust me, they'll remember. Just remember what you got, what you just look at the choice you gonna have.
Dude,
just look at the choice you're gonna have.
You had a choice with Bush.
I'm saying look at the choice. No one is. I don't see anybody in their right mind that's gonna take Newt Gingrich over Obama. And I'm talking about black people now.
Do you believe people voted for George W.?
Wacky very Bush. Minuscule. Very minuscule.
But
yeah.
That's what I'm saying. I mean,
but that's not enough to know.
We
overwhelmingly went for Kerry. So. That doesn't matter.
Right.
I mean,
just saying, with Gore Rand,
you
and
always
you,
look.
So,
nothing is ever 100%.
No doubt.
You always gonna have a few. You got Herman Cain. So there's black Herman Cain supporters.
No,
but it ain't enough. It ain't enough to fill a.
I got you, but that's what I'm saying. Like after the first Bush debacle, and he came, and he was running for his second term, and even when Puffy is like, look, please, could y'all get out there and hit these polls, because we don't need to go through this for another 4 years.
But
he still got in there.
Yeah, but that was because of Ohio, right? I mean, black people did their part. Look, black people vote.
Now,
the whole thing of black people don't vote is kind of overblown.
I can believe that.
It's really overblown. I mean, there's always large pockets of any type of demographic you can start carving up to find out that okay, they don't. Young people don't vote like they should. Period. Whether you black, white, or whatever,
mm-hmm.
Young people, old people vote consistently.
There's nothing else to do.
The most consistent voting bloc in America is old people.
Right.
Period.
I got you.
So you know.
Well, there it is.
It's all just a matter of how you choose to look at it. But no, there's not going to be. You're not going to have this big break off of support of black people. That's gonna go for Romney or Gingrich.
No,
never gonna happen.
I got it, but you have to get the people who like to complain. Right, that's what I'm saying. You
look,
have
the
to
man
get the
ain't
people.
Ever gonna do everything you want because of the job he has. So
right.
I mean, I knew that going into it.
But
I mean, if you thought that, I guess you thought as soon as he got in the office, the first thing he was gonna do is, yeah, you can get me out of there. Open that up and get him out.
Everybody, I mean, you know, it's certain things he can't do. Because he has to, I mean, basically has to appeal to the masses, which I guess he's trying to do, but you're not going to appeal, you're not going to make everybody happy. My only thing is that you have people who have lost faith in not just Obama in the system altogether that's just going to say, forget it, I'm not voting this year because it's not going to do nothing. Even though it was happening before, it's just like now people are like, man, we couldn't win with Bush. We get somebody like us in there, which is stupid, which I'm saying is stupid thinking to begin with, but we get somebody like us in there, and we still ain't winning, so what's the point? I give up now. We can't win with them. We can't win with us, so
yeah,
what's
well,
the point?
You have to. If anybody out there that's feeling that way, I would love for you to give us a call, because that would be something
yeah, that would
to get
be
into.
Nice. Yeah.
But, you know.
Y'all, so in case y'all don't know.
You got voter apathy. Usually the party out of power is usually more energized in the party in power, and that's kind of what you're seeing right now.
Yeah.
But because of this Occupy movement, you're starting to see a lot of what's going on, what went on in Ohio, what's going on in Wisconsin. You're seeing a lot of the Democratic or progressive bloc getting energized and getting hyped up coming into this year. So
I mean,
it looks pretty good.
It looks
from my
promising.
It looks
promising.
Pretty good from my
yeah,
point.
You know. So again, if you guys want to give us a call, you know, let us know what you're thinking about this whole voting process or even the Newt Gingrich, Mitt Romney, Obama situation. Give us a call 818-514-1202, 818-514-1202, or you can still hit us up on our Facebook page, Truth Brothers. We want truth at AT&T.net. Truth is spelled TRUF.
That's right. And we're going to go ahead and go into a break, and then we will be back with Hour 2 of Truth Brothers and our second hour topic of Raising the Bar, Truth Brothers Radio.
Truth Brothers Radio.
Truth Brothers Radio. We have a flat tire.
How do I tie a bow tie again?
What's the fastest way to Hartford Hospital?
Tell my wife I'm going to be 30 minutes late.
Call my husband, I'm not surprised.
Tell my wife if she has a problem with my work schedule, she's more than welcome to get a job of her own.
Tell my husband that I do just as much work as he does.
Tell my wife that if watching Ellen is a job, she should get a promotion.
Message from your husband. I appreciate you.
Bullshit. What did he actually say?
Please don't drag me into this.
Siri, call my husband.
Siri, ignore the call from my bitch wife.
Tell my husband that he said he'd respect my choice to stay at home with our child.
Tell my wife I would, but she can't even get around to washing his overalls.
Did you want me to search for flower shops nearby?
Tell my husband that at least when I sit on the washing machine, I come.
Send my wife this picture and ask her if the washing machine is
the only thing you've been sitting on lately. Oh dear.
Ask my husband what he means by that.
Tell my wife I think she knows.
Hey, look. I googled anger management technique.
Tell my husband to think very carefully before he says whatever he's about to say.
Ask my wife if she's fucking Jim McPherson.
Tell my husband how dare he.
Tell my wife that's not an answer.
Is it my fault?
Tell my husband that I will not answer that.
Ask my wife if she's fucking Jim McPherson.
Searching for a place to hide.
Tell my husband he wishes it was just Jim McPherson.
I don't want to.
Tell him.
Please don't make me.
Do it.
Send my wife directions to hell.
Yeah!
Say goodbye to the most amazing iPhone yet.
Hello, everybody. Recording live from somewhere.
Truth Brothers, Truth Brothers Radio, and we are back for the second hour of Truth Brothers. I'm Ray.
And I'm Divine.
And we are the Truth Brothers. 818-514-1202 is the number to give us a call. And we're going to get into the second hour of Truth Brothers.
Whoa.
I know.
We got to
give it up to the producer.
Give it
supreme.
To the producer who's hosing
it
down.
Candace, how you doing?
Hey, I'm hanging in there, ready to delve into this next topic for the second hour.
Yeah.
All right.
Gotta give a round of applause every time. Man.
That's right.
All right.
I was lighting a match. Huh?
Yeah, there you go.
Ain't nothing. That.
You get to go to the bubble bowl next. But
right.
But all right. Basically, ladies and gentlemen, the second half is going to indulge you in so much because I'm sure everybody's going to be able to relate to this topic that we're about to give to you, which is. Us,
yeah, we're gonna be
people. Go ahead,
because we're gonna be talking about raising the bar,
settling
standards.
We're settling.
Do you feel that we don't have high standards for ourselves, for each other, for our children, mm-hmm. for the type of entertainment that we accept?
Yeah.
Businesses. Do you feel like you get treated the way you should be with certain businesses, but you keep finding yourself going back there?
Yeah.
You know, your food. I mean, when was the last time you really had some really, really delicious fast food?
But I thought fast food wasn't meant to be delicious to begin with. But anyway, but actually, like I said, you guys, please be in tune with this topic that we're going to get into. The number again is 818-514-1202. That's 818-514-1202. So, Like my truth brother was saying, why do we settle though? Why are we so comfortable with mediocre? Why are we just able to just look at something and say, well, since that's all we have, I guess I'll just bump to that.
Right. I mean, I find it the music today, the television, the movies is just so low quality, man, that it gets me down sometimes. It's just like, man, it seemed like. You know, sometimes I like to watch a lot of old retro stuff, man.
Uh-huh.
And I just find like sometimes the old retro stuff tackled topics a little bit tougher than we do today.
Yeah.
Was willing to go more on the edge or to give you something to make your think bust.
Right.
You know, than they do today. And then even when they try to. You know, everybody got to recycle things. When they try to recycle something, mm-hmm. it's of such low quality that, you know, look at that. When they won back in the day, Charlie's Angels was not the best produced show to begin with, but I mean, it got high ratings. It was a very popular show.
And it's better than
and they
most
tried
of the
to bring and they
now.
Tried to bring it back today.
Yeah,
and the thing didn't last 3 weeks.
But
man,
they're doing that
was,
with a lot of shows,
it was
though.
Terrible.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, the thing is though, that just goes to show you though, you take something that was not cool or whatever, like it was just okay. You reinvent it. It don't last, even though
right.
it was a good show.
Right.
But you get served up with. I mean, served up with the House of Pain, and that's we can't get enough of that.
I'm saying, right.
I mean, come on, Meet the Browns, dude. We're gonna talk about it. Let's talk
okay,
about it.
I mean, you,
this
we,
is garbage.
We don't just have to focus on
no,
him
I'm not,
or
no,
black
no.
shows.
No.
I mean, even though,
but I mean,
black shows are of such a low grade and these days. I mean, to think about that, the height of the best black show in history was the Cosby Show. Was the Cosby Show. How long ago was that when every show should have been taking that as the jump off
yep.
point and going higher?
Yeah.
They went backwards.
Yeah. And that's the thing. The guy I'm not singling Tyler out. I'm
right.
not doing that.
Right.
I'm just saying though, dude, you're in a position to elevate your people. You have all the tools and everything that's necessary
mm-hmm.
to take
mm-hmm.
your people to another level, but you won't do it. You steady serving clown, man. Like, come on, you can't tell me Mr. Brown isn't blackface.
Oh, right.
Yeah. You can't
right.
tell me that.
Oh, yeah. Right.
You can't, dude, look at the clothes he's wearing.
Right.
Look at the way he acts.
And I mean,
and that's,
and
it's,
that, and that's
it's
the
bamboozled.
Crazy part, because back in the day, back in the day, man, that show wouldn't have made it.
Exactly.
I mean, Good Times was better than this show.
Yeah.
And I mean,
no doubt.
I won't say as bad as Good Times were. As bad as Good Times got, because once they realized we can get Jimmy Walker to say Dynamite every week, they strayed away from the topics to have the 10 minutes where he gets to put on his show. You
right.
know, I'm not saying nothing against Jimmy Walker, the actor. I mean, he was a young dude back then, and that propelled him into superstardom. They
right.
just found
right.
a gimmick, and then they kept pushing it. I mean,
mm-hmm.
they just kept pushing it every week, and then you had Esther Rolle and James Amos was like, hey, we kind of getting off of the structure of what we trying to bring here, because now we all got to step back and let him do his comedy stick every week, and it's getting old.
But, you know, I think it goes back to what you just said, the whole gimmick thing. I mean, let's look at that, and then let's look at music, too. It's all become a commodity. There's no
right.
art. There's no thought
mm-hmm.
into it. It's all
mm-hmm.
about making money,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I think that's what a lot of these television shows are in it for. You know, it's easier to have a symbol, you know,
right.
or someone as your face of something. And in your instance with the whole Meet the Browns, Mr. Brown is the buffoonery, represents the comedy in it.
Right.
You know,
let me ask you a question, Ken. I'm trying not to, but you just said that it's about making money. Now, do you think for Tyler, it's about making money? Do you really believe like he's like, okay, well, I gotta give you this because I need to make money, or is this what he believes that we want?
Well, you know what? Let's look at it from this angle. Let's even take Meet the Browns out of it.
Okay.
When he did what was it, Four Colored Girls?
Mm-hmm.
Not too long ago, I think we sat back and we looked up the stats. That was his worst grossing movie out of all the movies that he made.
Really? I thought it was Daddy's Little Girl.
Oh, I thought it was. That's what I meant. I'm
Daddy's
sorry.
Little Girl
yeah. Daddy's
his,
Little Girl.
Yeah, Daddy's
that's
Little Girl
what I meant.
Was his worst grossing
that's
movie.
That's the worst grossing movie.
Not that it wasn't successful for him, because he was given a small amount of
right.
money. And
right. Matter of fact, let me explain that real quick. Let me tell you how the movie industry works. If I give you X amount of dollars and you can bring me back 2 to 3 times more, I don't care if your movie isn't that popular. As long as I'm making a profit, it's cool. Summer blockbusters are designed to bring people into the theaters to make money for their smaller movies, their Oscar contentions, like
right.
Water for Elephant, things like that, where they know, or Black Swan, even though Black Swan ended up grossing
right.
$100 million. But that was where they're
King's
willing to take
Speech,
right,
all
the
those other ones, yeah.
They're willing
yeah.
to take loss on those movies to get the awards and the
notoriety.
And the notoriety for being a great filmmaking company. But X-Men, Spider-Man, Batman, that's what's bringing the bacon home. But there's also a group of low budget movies, if Tyler Perry is popular with studios because I can give him $10 million and he's going to bring me back 30 to 50.
And majority of that money is coming from who, though?
Well, no, I mean, it's coming from us.
Right.
As far as they're concerned, if I can give this man $10 million and he's going to bring me back 40,
I don't care.
Or 60, I don't
but
care.
Then
right.
Here's the question. How does he bring you back that 40?
That's the thing
of it is with the
promotory. Well, through his fan, but that's his fan base.
That may be his fan base, right, but it kind of limits him, too, from expanding because he's
True.
Got a core audience now
True.
That looks for him to be in this dress, that looks for him to be Madea.
True.
Those are his
you.
Biggest grossing movies. So, you know, instead of giving, he's giving the people what they want, but not enough of what they need.
Right. So the question,
and
so
now,
that goes back,
back
to our
off
question.
Of it and say, okay, well, you know what? And that's another thing, because does he not have his own film studio?
Your film studio is not yeah. who distributes
it's,
or sends the movie out.
Lionsgate,
they just make
that
it.
That.
Right, that's Lionsgate.
Okay.
So a film studio's got to have a distributor, and usually small companies aren't strong enough to do both.
Let me ask
Only
you
the
what.
Big
I wouldn't
one.
Even be so upset if he had a Meet the Browns, but then had another show to kind of balance.
Right. You know what? I'm sorry. I would. I don't like the House of Pain. I hate the House of Pain. I hate Meet the Browns, but I can't stand Meet the Browns. I can semi tolerate the House of Pain because of the fact that it's not as coonery, if that's a word, if it's not as coonish as that show is, and only because I get the concept behind the House of Pain. The dude's an ex fire chief. It's no big thing, but it was one episode in particular. I'm going to try to go through this real fast. It was one episode in particular where the Paynes were going to meet a Mexican family. And he dressed up in a sombrero and everything and had this on. And he went to their house. And everybody in the audience was, ha-ha, he's dressing as a Mexican and this, that, and the third. But when they went to the Mexican house, the Mexican man had on a kufi and everything else. And everybody else was like, wait a minute, this ain't fair. No, if you can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why I was getting back to, this is why the topic is called Raising the Bar.
Right.
Are we holding people like Tyler, and I don't want to just stay on
right.
Tyler, but are we holding our directors
rappers.
Or rappers or whoever, are we holding them to a higher standard? Are we holding ourselves to a higher standard? Because to
That's
me, he's making stuff for his core audience, and he knows, you got to admit, the man knows what his core audience wants.
No doubt.
And he gives it to them. Now, the question is, do he raise the bar?
No, he does not. The reason I say that is, like I said, I had a discussion with somebody a while ago. Like I said, Spike Lee is a director.
I was getting ready.
He's a director. He knows how to direct a movie from beginning to end.
Yeah, true.
Period, point blank. You can't tell me Tyler can give you an Oscar-worthy-directed movie. He can't.
Right. Now he can't. But what I'm getting at is, someone on one end or the other has to hold the other up to a higher standard. What you was just talking about with Spike Lee, when you take people like Spike Lee, you take Prince, you take Stevie Wonder,
mm-hmm.
you take artist
Denzel,
who's going to take what he's given, and they're going to keep trying to consistently
push it up
a higher level, and he's saying, I'm trying to bring y'all up here with me, but some of y'all who don't get it, you don't get it. You know, Prince don't care how you feel about his music.
Right.
He's going to he keeps trying to reach higher and higher levels of manifestation,
of his
music, that he's trying to evolve it. So, I mean, he develops his core audience too, who gets it, but then for the most people, if you don't get it, oh well.
Right.
Right. But and that's an interesting point that you made, but now that Tyler Perry has more or less put his footprints in the sand with something visual, you know, as movies and television,
but
can you really go back now?
But then it's not even it's not I'm sorry.
Right the wrong, I guess.
Well,
you could
no,
say.
You
can,
it's not even
it's
about
not
him.
About right and wrong. It's
well,
just about trying to. He's got to decide at some point, I'm going to give my audience a little bit of what they want and a lot of what they need, and I'm going to take something
right.
and just
well,
push it to a
need,
take it to a
need
level.
To make that decision. People need to make that decision and demand more.
But it's one way or the other. Like I say, with Prince,
well,
Prince is, I'm glad you like my last album. But if you don't get this next one, Jay-Z just had that in On
yep.
to the Next.
Yeah.
people on my old. If you want my old stuff,
buy my old albums.
He said, I got to keep it moving. So you either going to keep up with me or you going to get left behind. He's
right.
making
and
that choice.
That just goes to show as far as like with rappers. Jay-Z, steady evolving. LL Cool J, these are people who evolved from the beginning of their careers, and look at them now.
Mm-hmm.
You can't tell me that Soulja Boy will have the journey that Jay-Z or people like LL, and even I give you Ice-T, Ice Cube. All of these people have went through more better things as their career
evolved.
Yeah, they
right.
evolved.
But they came up in a different era too, you know, where they've seen this game change and evolve. You know, the artists now are getting younger and younger, and music has become a commodity.
Yeah, but need to evolve to push your talents to higher levels is in you.
Mm-hmm.
That's got nothing to do with the day or time that you're in.
Like,
I mean, Lupe Fiasco is in this day and time garbage, but he's trying to evolve what he does.
Do you see Soulja Boy within the next 10, 15 years evolving?
No,
I see him devolving.
That's my point that I'm trying to make.
But I bet you in the next 5 to 10 years, Soulja Boy will still be here because this is what we tolerate. This is what the kids of his genre is going to tolerate.
There'll be someone who looks just like him.
I don't know if it'll be him because they're making disposable music.
Right.
They make when you look at certain groups that was hot just three years ago and they're gone.
Right, but that's the thing.
Who is that group? Who is them jokers that made the Whisper song?
Yin Yang Twins.
Yeah, where are they now?
Somewhere in the South.
Right,
Whisper.
Exactly, because they were making. Disposable
but before
music.
They did that, though, they came. Here's the thing: they came out with dumb music. They came out with the right around that Lil Jon area when everything was
just screaming
bass.
Right, and they came out. They didn't. They gave the people what they wanted. They didn't give them nothing of what they needed because hell, they needed stuff. They don't know what they needed.
But that's
gave what was popular. They just gave carbon copy music of what was popular, got their hit, and now they're gone.
But don't you find it ironic that, though, it doesn't even seem like the people have evolved, so why should the music evolve? The people are still loving Whisper Song type music. People are still loving Soulja Boy type music. Like we was just talking about the other day, Lil B, the I'm Gay song. Like, come on. It was hot garbage. And at the
sure
end
was,
of the day,
yeah.
And it's like, People, it's crazy. It's going backwards. But why aren't they relevant?
Remember, like you said, they're getting these artists that's younger, younger, and younger. They are listening to their A&Rs. They are listening to their record companies.
Right.
Don't see the rap out of all the forms of music. Rap to corporate America is not seen as music. It's not seen as art. It's seen as a commodity. It's seen as something that you can use and then throw away.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
Because we've taken the art out of the music. We've done that.
Because they've taken younger and younger artists and influenced them to take the art out of the music.
No doubt. But
when you have that, again, people who love hip hop, true hip hoppers like ourselves, we know we going underground. We going to places where you're not going to find this music on the commercial market for the most part.
Right.
Because a lot of artists that we play in our breaks do not like to be controlled by commercial entities.
Right.
So
right.
they going to bust the system and say, hey, I'd rather put the thing out through iTunes. I'd rather put the thing out through the underground and get 200,000, 300,000 hits and be cool.
Right. No doubt. And I'm with that. I'm totally with it. Because, I mean, if we want to get real about it, there are no left relevant. There are no MCs. There are no rappers. Relevant
no, all
now,
anybody that's an MC is back from the from the old school.
And I kind of feel bad because for Lupe. The reason I feel bad for Lupe is because Lupe is a great artist. Like
he's lyrical.
An actual MC. If you listen to what he's saying.
Right.
It's like stuff that I had to listen to, that Dumb It Down song, I had to listen to 3 times before I actually was like, okay, I get
that. Catching what he getting at.
Right. I mean, you get Dumb It Down, but if you listen to the content and the lyrics of his songs, you
right.
understand if you have to listen
it's
to that.
It's kind of cryptic. It's cryptic in a message for people who have to open up their minds
exactly.
to listen to where he's coming from.
Exactly.
But it's an awesome song. But unfortunately, I bet you half these kids out here will not take the time to try to decipher what is being said.
I don't think these kids know how to decipher what they
well,
say.
Well, see, and that's
They've
another
been
problem.
So programmed to just listen to the beat and bob their head that
that's
they are not
problem.
Listening
right.
to what half of these rappers say. You know, Nicki Minaj got a song. I wonder if you can find it.
Yeah,
she's
I'm
got
sure
a,
we can
She's
pull
got
out.
A song with a lyric that just she
Hold
basically.
Hold on, we got it right here. We can play it if you want.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Let's do that. Check this out, everybody.
Wobbly wobble, wobble, wobbin. Ass so fat, all these bitches pussies is throbbin. Bad bitches, I'm your leader.
Yeah.
Venom by the media. Somebody point me to the best ass either. Tell them pussy clean, I tell them pussy squeaky.
Yeah,
yeah, dig
got
that.
Got a problem with that.
Dig
you
that,
should.
Right. And your children and your children are listening to that.
Now, how many parents are going out and actually monitoring what their kids are buying and what they're listening to and what these radio stations are listening to?
You know, that's easy to say. I'm going to say this real quick. When we were children, how much of the music that you listened to, your parents really knew what you were listening to? That's part of being a teenager that they gonna have something that their parents ain't catching or I know I was smart I knew not to like
but
I wouldn't play
I'm
Darling
say,
Nikki around my parents
but you
that
know
wasn't
even with
happen.
Darling Nikki I'm gonna say something with that even with that you know it was still you know kind of sort of cryptic I mean it was kind of.
Not
but you know, it wasn't as straightforward
no.
and gutted as what we just
right,
heard.
Right. That's
you know
big.
What I mean?
No.
You had to listen to certain songs. You know, there were certain songs out there that were really nasty from the 70s and 80s.
Right.
But
yeah,
they were
like,
cryptic in a message
a booger
where you didn't,
yeah.
right,
no,
you didn't know what that was.
Ahead.
I didn't know what that
right.
was.
Right. Or another blues song. Meet Me With Your Black Drawers On. That's a blues song.
Well.
My
yeah.
bad. Go
no,
ahead,
I mean, that was. That was. I mean, that type of music has always been around, but what it was so on the undercover that it wasn't that they knew that they wasn't letting the children listen to it. I mean, Ice-T used to have a whole slew of songs that was just for the raunchy, but he was like, you're not supposed to let your children hear this. Now,
right.
if you letting your kids hear this, there's something wrong with you.
Right.
Now, it's just accept, you know, part of the reason is artists don't have to be categorized in a sense like they used to. When you can have Snoop Dogg have women on chains going to an award show and then turn around and be on Nickelodeon pushing a kid's toy, something's wrong.
No doubt. You absolutely right.
You used to have to choose what world you were going to be in. Prince chose the erotic, and he know he was kind of pushing the envelope on certain music. So therefore, he wasn't at Toys R Us signing toy guitars or whatever.
Right. I got you.
Because he knew, hey, this isn't for them.
Right.
You
I
know.
Got, I mean, that's understandable, man. That's Prince. That's what he does, and he's great at that. I'm just saying, for me, myself, I feel that since there will be no actual MCs, there will be no actual music, I feel for my kids that they will grow up and I mean, they will grow up and see this is it. This is, I have to live this life because it's in something that makes me feel good. Music
right.
is designed, like we said, to spark an emotion out of you. Now, if Nicki is saying, oh, well, cool, you're just supposed to be out here and pointing her to the best ass eater,
mm-hmm.
then
mm-hmm.
I guess I got to go to school and say, you know what I do, right?
Right.
So come over here because I
right.
want girls.
So, you know, and it's a shame that, you know, she basically called her audience gay.
But that's
she basically
but it
called
acceptable.
Right, right.
But that's what I'm saying. It's acceptable. Like, look, I have gay members in the family, everything like that, and I have no problem with that. That's cool. I don't judge nobody because I don't want nobody to judge me. The whole thing is, if she's calling her audience gay, even if they're gay or not, they're cool with it. They're like, oh, well,
right.
she called me gay, but
right,
if
which is true because right. I mean, Chuck D couldn't have called me gay. That was gonna be
but
a problem.
Chuck D
no, but
call
I'm,
you
no,
gay.
I'm just
saying
that
right.
back
right.
back in my day when I'm listening, the artist couldn't couldn't say that lyric
to
me.
Do you
it'd
think it's
a problem
different because it's coming from a female? You think that might play
a
role?
It's a matter of listening to the lyrics.
I think it's a different time because most people don't really listen to lyrics nowadays.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that these kids are, it's designed to get you entranced into the beat and not the substance of what these people are actually saying.
No doubt.
Because you got to pay artists. Artists who have, you know, they have to be inspired. You got to pay them, you know.
That's true.
A good amount of money. Here with these 15 commodities, you in, you out. You in, you out. You come up with 16 bars, you say a little stuff here, and it's not even that people are listening to what you're saying. You know, it's repetition.
That's
they
right.
They have repetition, so now you're subliminal, and now you find yourself singing songs you don't even like, and, you know, it's that's just the way it is.
Right,
now.
And you know, we're gonna blow over this soft break real quick. So what I'm going to say is this portion of Truth Brothers is being brought to you by Christopher Columbus GPS Systems. Christopher Columbus, look what you done found. And now we can continue on. But, you know, what you were saying, I mean, artists, whether it was film, whether it was drawing or painting, they was trying to provoke some type of response out of you or make you think. Man, one of the rawest shows ever was the Twilight Zone. People don't get how many of them episodes went over so many people's heads. Man, I was up about a month ago and I couldn't sleep, so I'm sitting on the couch, I'm vegetating, and I'm watching TV, and one of the old episodes of the Twilight Zone came on. And it was this episode where it was this block. And on this block, one dude, because it was during the Cold War, one of the neighbors built a bomb shelter in his house while the other neighbors didn't build one. And they were all, you know, all get along. They partied and played cards every week. Everybody got along. And then something came over the radio, that unidentified flying objects. And they wasn't talking about space aliens. They thought it was missiles. From Russia was headed towards the United States, and they were saying that everybody needs to get in their house and blah, 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 blah. So he went and grabbed his water, and he got in his bomb shelter, and all his neighbors slowly migrated to his house trying to get in his bomb shelter because they didn't have one. And then you seen the whole community splinter off into who was really an American, who was a foreigner. It broke down into racism, man. It broke down into everything, and they just tore each other apart, and come to find out it was all a false alarm.
Right.
And then they all had to try to go back to
regular life.
Going back to their regular life after what was on the surface just got ripped off and exposed. And I was like, man, and that was 30 minutes, but that was one of the deepest shows I had seen in a long time.
Right.
Television today ain't coming close to talking about
anything like that.
No,
they're not coming close to that, but the thing is, they feel like I'm a touchback on your Meet the Browns. The conversation I had with somebody is like they dwell or try to get into our what we find like touch into the urban community. I'm gonna say urban community. They try to get into that by saying, well, you know, they pick up on topics as far as like drug addiction and family members that's going through things and everything like that. But it's not done in an artistic way. It's just done as in, hey, she's on drugs, we're gonna get her off, praise Jesus, and the day's over. No,
mm-hmm.
That's not how it's
done,
though.
Right.
I mean,
right.
I see your point.
And that's,
I see
that's
your
not
point.
How it's. There's no. I'm not coming at Christianity or nothing like that. But you, a lot of people just feel like if you watch Tyler Perry's show, everything is done through Christ. Everything is done through. It's like Christ with no work. And even in the Bible, it says you have to work along with your belief.
That's right.
So you can't just believe and say, all right, God got it, and leave it alone.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing is, you watch his show, bam, we go ahead, everything's cool. Oh, big disaster. I know what we'll do. Everybody pray. We pray. Everything's better now. That's not real. If you want
true
to touch
indeed.
Into our urban community, get what's real then.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody, I don't doubt the fact that a lot of people in the urban community have their beliefs, and I'm true with that. But I'm sure that they don't just say, okay, God got it. I'm sure that single mothers are out there like, oh, God, please help. But they also get out there and they're job hunting every day. Show the struggle. If you're going to do that, show the struggle.
Hmm.
And I'm sure, Tyler, you can do that. That's just what I'm saying. Show it from top to bottom.
Right, right.
Man of that.
Well, you know what? I definitely like what you're saying. We're going to this break, and then when I come back, I'm going to give you a good example on how you can take an innocent movie and get to the underlying tones of things and take people to that higher level like you was just talking about when we come back from this break. Truth Brothers Radio.
Yeah. Come on.
Truth Brothers Radio.
Hey yo, my silent moments, loud as the crack of thunder. My hunger like the crocodile that attacks a hunter. It ain't commercial or underground, it's true. Cause I'm on call a skill, call a game, call a glow, call my name. Like the law, all the veins, screaming like you want a pain. Treat it like a drug, all up in your veins, huh? Yeah. We make the square stance.
Truth Brothers Radio.
Smack, PCP, and even morphine should never be in the hands of a little tiny orphine.
But we ain't helping, mister.
Oh, kid, I know the dope is good. I used to sell it. Hi, I'm Bullhorn. Now, the scene you just saw was soul impacting, but this scenario was just acting. On the streets, there's a bigger problem coming to a head. And if we don't do something about it, a lot of little orphans are going to end up dead. So fight smack in the orphanages. And if you see fit, remember when you give, to put your ankles in.
Talking about raising the bar in the community amongst ourselves. What standards do we hold to each other?
So, yeah, you guys, if you've been listening to the topic, please give us a call in at 818-514-1202. I'm sure a lot of people have something they would like to say as far as this topic goes. You can also hit us up on Facebook at Truth Brothers on our Facebook page, rather. And you can also hit us up at OneTruth, TRUF@ATT.net, or hit us up on Twitter.
Yeah, and I know some of y'all definitely want to give us a call.
Because I'm sure,
especially Tyler Perry fans, they usually jump on people who have any disparaging word against Tyler Perry. And it's not that, you know, we don't appreciate what he does.
Right,
we're
right,
just saying
right,
that,
right.
You know, the bar could be raised a little bit higher. If you look at, I know they like to pit Spike Lee against Tyler Perry.
Right.
And that's not what I'm trying to do here, but I'm talking about the evolution of a movie director at this point.
Yeah.
If you look at what was his first one? She's Gotta Have It.
Okay.
Look at that one and then look at Miracle at St. Anne's and
yeah.
see the evolution that he took
yeah.
in becoming a filmmaker.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna be quite real with you. I'll put up Mo Better Blues against anything that Tyler Perry has made and it will not stand up to it.
No.
Mo Better Blues is an awesome movie.
It's a great movie. It's a great movie. I'll tell you one better, dude. I would put up Boys in the Hood against anything Tyler Perry done. The first John Singleton's Boys in the Hood, I would put that up against anything that Tyler Perry's done.
And you know what?
I don't want to, you know, put it all on just him.
No, not at all.
We also need to delve into just regular television and media.
Yeah.
Because now we also need to be holding these clear channels and all these other people socially responsible for this garbage that they're allowing to saturate these kids.
Look at the shows on the CW. I can't stand that. Who wants to be the next top model? It's garbage.
That just goes to show, like I had this conversation with someone, it's going to show what they believe is important. Looks are important. The way you dress is important. Nobody says, like Common had a verse, I mean not Common, Nas had a verse in a song called Why, when he said, why do you care more about my son's braids than his grades? Like, why are we so concerned with what our kids look like? Why are we so concerned with what our kids have on? Why are we so concerned about materialistic objects other than what's going to expand their brain, what's going to make them successful, what's going to make them become a better person? We don't look at that.
I think a big portion of that, too, could be because we as African Americans, and this has been proven, we are the biggest consumers.
Right.
You know, I think, and this is just me, I think there's a great blueprint to all this.
Okay.
You know, I think because of that, you know, and I think this kind of even goes back to slavery. You know, we didn't have anything. And now, you know, now that things have changed over, you know, the hundreds of years, you know, we're still in this kind of mentality now to where we feel like we've got to be better than the next man. You know what I mean? We feel like we've got to splurge. We feel like we've got to have, you know, certain things.
But are we doing it through purchases? Why are we doing it? We can be better than the best man through our intelligence. We could be. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But
like,
we could be. But here's the thing. Is that something that's happening? Absolutely not.
No.
You know, I think you made a good point while we were having a conversation last week about the new fads now. About how kids are dressing up like nerds but don't know a damn thing.
Right. You know what I mean?
It's a facade, you know,
it's part of the move.
Matter of fact, I mean, going on what you're saying, you know, one of the best shows on TV now is a show called Big Bang Theory, and it's about these grown-up nerds, and one has a master's degree, and he's constantly getting clowned because all his other friends have doctorates.
Right. Exactly.
That's how deep this show goes.
Right.
And he gets teased all the time because all he has is a master's.
And
it's amazing how no one has complained or they don't even feel the need to have to put a black character in there. Because there's not a black character in the entire show. There's an Indian character, and he's filling up the colored space.
Right. He's just brown enough to pass.
Yeah, but they don't.
Right.
Oh my God, the brown jokes they be having on there be brutal too. But they don't feel the need to have to put a black person on the show at any way, shape, or form.
You know, to go against that though, it's also a show on Fox called House. You might not like it, or whoever else might not like it, but great. It's one of the best running shows on Fox right now, and the dean of medicine now is a black man, which I was all for. I like the fact of that, but it just goes to show House is like B100. House is an ass. He's a total ass, but he's brilliant. Mm-hmm. And the fact that the guy's brilliant, like he's an atheist. He's all these other things, but he's brilliant and he saves lives. And It taps into more things, but it's just I'm happy that on at least that show,
right.
At least that show.
Well, no, it's not just at least that.
No.
Grey's Anatomy have great. That's got some of the best black characters I have ever seen.
No doubt
on television in my life.
No doubt.
They're three dimensional. They're complex. They're flawed. Man, it's nice.
Outside of that, I'm shocked that I don't know why, but I'm just saying, I don't know how, the guy's name is Foreman. I don't know how Foreman got to be the dean of medicine, like, from Fox, because I would assume Fox,
Fox Entertainment and Fox Movies is the same company, but it's a different entity than Fox News. You've seen The Simpsons. This Fox News on a regular,
right? I got you,
and they get away with it because they're walking in a different world than Fox News is doing.
No doubt, because like what was the other show? It's another show, but I mean we had to go back to what you were saying about the Cosby Show and how great that show was because it showed success amongst a black family and it didn't have real coonery in it. It was elegant.
Right.
It had history. It had heritage to it.
Right.
And everything about that. Now I go even as far as to say like a lot of people didn't like what was the show? The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Mm-hmm. Like, I was like, it still has some form of heritage. The dude right. was a judge. His wife was well-educated right. until they booted the two-dark went off and got the semi-dark went on there.
Right. But dig this, what you were saying about the Cosby Show. The Cosby Show came on in the early 80s
right.
and was this groundbreaking show. But by the end of the 90s, look at what they gave you. By the end of the 90s, Family Matters goes off the air, and that show just was a pale comparison to the Cosby Show, and it relied on exploiting this little young kid, making mm-hmm. him Urkel and making him clown around.
But
mm-hmm.
you know what, though? I mean, I give you that, even though it's a difference. I kind of go with the whole, at least he was smart. He was clumsy because that's how
no,
the stereotypical
yeah, right.
thing
the,
of nerds
the,
are.
Right, but no, I'm talking about the quality. And the quality
wow,
of the quality of Family Matters didn't come anywhere
no,
close
no,
to what the
no,
cost. And
no.
it should have been an evolution going forward, not to devolve going backwards.
I got you.
If you got Cosby Show in the early 80s, by the end of the 90s, the Family Matters should be something that was light years above the Cosby Show, but it
right.
wasn't.
Right. I see what you're saying. I got you. It's just that they said, all right, well, Cosby had his run. You know what they like. Foolery.
Right. And
so
and now I mean and now look at how we're slowly and look at some of the commercials. Look at some of the TV shows. They're slowly slipping back into the image of the black woman has to be she's got to be two tons and talk with that attitude
and the neck snap
and got to praise Jesus every other sentence.
Right.
That's a far cry from Claire Huxtable.
No doubt.
Right.
No doubt. Yeah,
no.
I give it to you like this. Even Living Single had heritage. Like, if you go
yeah.
back to Queen Latifah had the flavor, everything.
Right.
It's like, it's not like, even Maxine. Maxine Shaw?
She
was an attorney.
You want to get that deep into it. Living Single, if you look at it, that show Friends was nothing but
oh, yeah.
a white ripoff of Living Single.
No
yeah.
doubt.
The show was pretty much identical to the characters of Living Single,
except they wasn't
black and living in Brooklyn.
There you go.
Right.
Yeah, the set was almost the same though. So, I mean, we're falling back into this is what we accept though. Nobody wants to complain that the fact that a lot of our good shows are predominantly white. A lot of our good shows now are.
And music,
well,
yeah. Everything.
I mean, yeah, especially, yeah, music. Yeah. I mean, right now, I mean, I'm going to be real with you, man. Rock is running.
Yeah. Oh, dude.
Rock artists are taking trying to hit stuff on a whole higher level.
That's,
man, rappers are just
but you know what, but that kind
way
of
in the background.
That concerns me in a certain aspect, too. Because I don't believe that it's a matter of our black artists not wanting to put out good music. I don't think they're given the ground to do it anymore.
You know,
I think they're kind of being pushed.
You're
you
right.
know, they're not getting
that.
The marketing.
Right.
They're not getting the airplay that they deserve to have.
You're right.
You know, that's my personal opinion of it.
If any underground artists or whatever might be listening to this show and you really want to, if you want
right.
to get out here and you want your voice to be heard, your message to be heard, we would love to have you on the Truth Brothers. But it gotta be you gotta be real. You gotta come with it because we want to elevate our people.
Right.
That's
and
just
I
it.
Mean, you know, a lot of people out there don't you feel like. Everything has been becoming a low grade quality than what you're used to. I mean, look at your food, look at your businesses,
yeah,
look at your public services.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a time, man, when I would get my garbage picked up, and if the garbage man dropped something or animal had gotten into it that night, he would pick the stuff off the ground and put it in the truck. Now I'm getting home and I'm seeing little bags and this and that in the grass or on the ground where they just decided I'm not gonna pick that up.
You know
I'm
why?
Gonna dump it in the can. I'm gonna dump the can into the truck and keep it moving.
You know why? We've become a community of meat, man. We absolutely have become. We don't. We
You're
really,
talking about America in general now. I know.
Just, I mean, yeah,
yeah,
America, but a lot of our people. We look out. I'm not saying all. I can never say all. But a lot of our people look out for self only. Like, hey, why should I look out for them? It used to be like people like from what I yo, it takes everybody to bring this one kid up and make him successful. But we don't have that no more. That heritage is gone.
Right.
We don't have it. Like, I mean, it's wrong. That's why the Truth Brothers had on their page a question on their page a while back where we asked, do you think that other parents should be able to discipline a kid, not put their hands on them, but just say, hey, man, don't do that
right.
if they see them doing something wrong.
Right.
And a lot of people were saying yes, but a lot of people were saying no because, hey, I don't want nobody discipline my kid but me. But then again, look at the example you are setting for your kid. If you're telling your kid it's okay to do it and the guy said, nah, man, little man, you shouldn't do that, and then you're getting mad at the guy because he's saying, hey, man, you shouldn't walk out of here with this gun. Better yet,
right.
I'll pay for it for you. I don't need you to do this. You ain't got to do my mind. We keep it real. And dude, is nah, man, it's no need. But we don't have that. We don't have nobody who, I don't want to say nobody. We don't have a lot of people who wants to elevate our people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just where I'm at. I don't feel like we're a lost cause, but I feel like we will be there.
We're
a dying breed. And I don't necessarily just mean African Americans or Africans or black
people.
You're
talking about
mostly
people who want to be of quality.
Yeah, people who want to be of quality. When your role models are teenagers.
Right.
When you're a grown man looking at Soulja Boy
teenager.
Like, oh man, that's who I want to be like. I want to wear two hard chains and get tattoos on my neck and all that. Like, no. Why? Why do you want to do that? Why? You have kids. Would you want your kids being like you?
But chances are they are kids.
No doubt. But then again, me and a friend of mine had a thing we called your adult switch. Like, when do you turn your adult switch on? Like, at a certain age, you should just say, hey, you know what? Baggy saggy pants just don't work for me no more.
Should.
Right.
But hell, when you walk around and you see 40, 45 year old men rocking it, that, I mean, when their adult switch come on.
You saying that, but you know what's the most disgusting thing I've ever seen? To see a 50, 60 year old man walking around with baggy pants on a t shirt.
No
and
doubt.
A chain around his neck.
Yeah, but
it
see,
looks terrible.
Because
again, the adult switch not
he's trying to indulge
stay relevant.
Exactly.
Stay relevant to the time.
Exactly.
But instead of just accepting, hey, look, I'm old now, you know, I should have left a lot of this stuff in the past. So you're busy chasing the young chicks or, you know, trying to be relevant.
Well, that's sad because when you become a certain age, it's not about staying relevant. It's about creating relevancy. I mean, I don't feel like I have to subscribe to any style
to
be relevant. I'm relevant because the acts that I do make me relevant.
Exactly. Correct. Like something my pops had said a while back, man, and he was like, you know what? A person came up, one of our little cousins came and told him, hey, what's up, man? You over the hill. He was like, nah, I'm at the top of the hill right now. You know what I'm saying? Because I can never be over the hill. I've been where you want to be, and I'm sitting here chilling right now. But when it's my time to go, I won't be over the hill. I'll just be gone.
Right.
That's it. So, I mean, that's just – maybe it's because my upbringing or whatever. I've had somebody there to show – what a man's supposed to do. Not just men, but I've had to show, hey, this is how ladies should act. Not just women. It's
not necessarily
about being submissive or nothing like. It's just the way you carry yourself as a lady.
Right.
You don't carry yourself
but,
as Nicki Minaj.
I mean, right, exactly. But I mean, for these poor kids, man, they don't know what
they don't know.
I've asked a bunch of kids, tell me what a love ballad is, and they can't tell me what a love ballad is.
Mm-hmm.
I tried to take my stepdaughter and my niece, and I tried to show them a romantic ballot, and they looked at me like, man, get that soft crap out of my face.
Yeah, because you're soft.
Because you're right. It was like, wow. And
why
I
don't
mean,
you do it with no hands?
I
that's
watched
they
them,
wanted to do
yeah,
Waka
like I watched them just turn off from, as soon as the song came, they just turned off.
Unplugged.
And was
yeah.
like, no, this is, no.
You know what? It's because, you know what? It's because it sparks,
they not happy.
It sparks an emotion. It sparks an emotion that they don't want to grasp on. They think that anything that causes you to feel anything but hard, they don't want to listen to it. It doesn't spark that image that we are given to believe in. We're given to believe
that
we're hard. We're supposed to believe that, oh man, yeah, we supposed to pound our chest because we black and this, that, and the third. When it's not the case, when that's not necessarily the case.
Yeah.
So why are we just saying, okay, well, you know what? Yeah, that's how we're supposed to act. This is how we're going to act. Let's just let anything, like, I'm looking for my, like, it's a group called Mindless Behavior. Little kids.
Right.
And they had a song called, but it's the, see, that's the thing. That's the name of their song, but they had a song called Mrs. Right. Right? Cool little kid. Like, remember, what was that, old group called ABC?
ABC?
And they had the Aisha. Was that
right.
Aisha? Yeah, and they was like,
right.
It was just a cute little kid song. Hey, right. Aisha, you're like the girl that I never had.
Right.
Mindless Behavior came right back with some
but
Mrs.
See,
Right.
The name like leaves that. So much to be desired.
Maybe that's what, to
you
get,
know,
that's
but
the
see,
Tyler
that's
Perry
deep
hook
in
to,
itself.
Hey, let me get you in.
That's
yeah.
deep in itself, though. You know,
yeah.
just, I don't know. You know what I mean? I don't know if I could, you know, as a parent, if my child came to me and say, hey, can you get me the new Mindless Behavior CD?
But then again,
despite the songs that they have, the songs might be good, but just the thought, the subliminal
no
thought
doubt.
Of purchasing, I'm getting ready to buy this
well, you,
for my kids.
Huh, you saying that.
You know
they got a commercial out right now for one of these phones where you be able to load up your music, and the guy is coming out of the subway, and he puts his earphones on, and he puts his music on, and he's walking down the street. And as he's walking down the street, the world around him literally goes to hell. Trees start exploding,
right.
Cars start flipping, manhole covers are blowing up. I mean, the world just turns to chaos around him,
mm-hmm.
and he's got his music on, and he is just like, just walking like the world is just fine. And
huh.
to me, the whole commercial
wow,
told me
symbolic.
That ignorance is bliss.
That's symbolic in them.
Yeah.
Told
yeah.
me that you don't care about your surroundings, don't care about your environment, just unplug into this and live in
yeah.
this moment.
Yeah.
And it was the most
that's
ridiculous
that's,
thing I've ever seen,
it's
man.
The most ridiculous, but it had meaning to it. You know, I feel that. And then
yeah.
on top of that, though, I'm going to get right back onto something real fast. Like, we do have, though, little artists like that can become something great, like Diggy Simmons, who has the influence in his house.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Diggy has.
Right.
So if you know if anything Diggy does comes outside of what is tolerable as far as hip-hop, Pop's going to put a squash to that immediately. Because
right.
you know that he is not just going to tolerate, well, you know, I set records. I set a bar.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
true.
Mm-hmm.
Now you gotta. Hey, you set your bar, and I refuse that if a father sets a bar, I'd be damned if I let my son lord.
Right.
That's just it.
Right.
Absolutely.
So that's hey, if you either gonna meet me or beat me, and I hope you beat me. And the thing is, you better beat me. And I know his father set a high bar for him to beat, but.
Right. Well,
I'm not just gonna.
Well, for anybody
crap.
Out there who don't know who Diggy Simmons' father is, his father is Run. From Run DMC,
yes.
So you're talking about an iconic rapper and someone
icon.
Who's in the rock and roll was the first rappers inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So you know you're talking about a very high bar that has
yeah.
to be met.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
like you say, hey, you want to do this? You better
right.
get there.
Because that's the thing. If you choose to follow in your father's footsteps and he set such a man, he set a path that's glowing every step he's on that Billie Jean Michael Jackson path. Every step you take, you
right.
lighten up the floor.
Right.
Like, dude, I don't
right.
know if I could
I mean,
do it.
And like you said, just think about that. Just to be an artist who could get dominant play and recognition at the height of Michael Jackson's popularity is just saying something.
Right.
When Michael
right.
Jackson was just overshadowing the entire industry, Run DMC came out, and you couldn't deny them.
Right.
You couldn't
right.
deny them.
That's just it. And let it be told, Diggy Simmons is talented. He
mm-hmm.
is lyrical. Like, I heard him, and I was shocked. I was like, dude, not that I should be shocked because of his father, but it's like, as far as the rapping goes, I was like, okay, hey.
Right.
Well, yeah, he's got a great influence. I mean, and he's been exposed to a lot of the older things that, you know,
right.
all of us in this room have come up with.
Right.
You know, we had our garbage music back then, too, but it was also so many good things that, you know, that were out there for us to listen to.
Right.
You know, and if you don't mind, I'd like to change the subject a little bit
good.
And go back to what you had mentioned about
okay.
business.
Well, before you do that, let's pay a couple of bills. We got one more break, and then we're going to wrap it up with our final session of Truth Brothers.
Truth Brothers Radio.
I don't even know what that means.
No one knows what it means, but it's provocative.
No, it's not. It's
getting the people going.
Truth Brothers Radio.
He's a living musical legend. He's the mighty Marvin Clardy, the world's most arrogant gospel singer in the world. Introducing his greatest hit CD, God Chose Me. All of Marvin's most conceited classics are here, including his celebrated God's Twin.
You may mistake me for him, but I'm God's Twin. Mistake me for him, because I'm God's Twin.
Order now and receive over 40 of Marvin's most praiseworthy arrogant gospel hits, including
Jesus called me, and I put him on hold.
The congregation. That other congregation kids, black,
God Chose Me contains all of Marvin's most beloved tunes, plus a few of his big-headed bonus tracks, including God Made Me Better Than You.
God made me. They made me so much, so much better than it made you.
You don't want to miss out on the man Gospel Illustrated called the most arrogant and least talented gospel singer in history. Pastor Marvin believes that only he has the power to get you into heaven. So buy this CD today or you're going straight to hell. Order now.
Two Brothers Radio.
Truth Brothers Radio. Yeah, we're back. And that pass, I bought that pass to Marvin CD. It's in my car right now.
Do you? Oh, I love it. Yeah.
He got another cut called
You Make My Robe Stand Up.
Nah, oh, that ain't it. Nah, he got another one called I Walk With Jesus Because He Doesn't Have A Car.
That's not him, man. That's Reverend John Downlow's book.
That's
Reverend John Downlow's book. I Walk With Jesus Because He Doesn't Have A Car.
Oh,
it is. Okay.
Well, newness.
Oh, yeah.
But, yep, wrapping up this final segment of Truth Brothers here. But, yeah, we were talking about raising the bar.
Going back to standards, and I just want to throw something out there that I experienced maybe about a month or so ago. I went to a local, you know, well-known fried chicken franchise not too long ago.
Go ahead.
The street from Jizzle's, though.
Yeah.
Up the street around the block. But I was there, and this one particular time, I decided to go inside. Okay, because I don't want anybody spitting my damn food. So I decided to go inside. And, you know, despite the wait time for someone to come and take my order, you know, when the young lady got ready to take my order, instead of saying, you know, hello, how you doing, you know, welcome to such such, she just stared at me. Stared at me like, will you hurry up and say something?
Please.
So I said, okay. You know, kind of blew it off a little bit, and I told her what I wanted. But here's the funny part. I had to literally threaten her to make sure I didn't have to make a second trip back there.
Oh, yeah.
I just kind of leaned in and said, I don't want to come back here. Please make sure my order is right and everything is fresh. I shouldn't have to say that.
You shouldn't have to.
Not as a customer, as a consumer who's spending my good hard-earned money, you know, to support you, this organization, for your check. You know, it's just, you know, it's something that has to be done about this, you know. And
well, we as a people, we have, long story short, people, we as a people have to do better. We have to evolve with, we have to evolve into greatness. Just long story short,
and
we
have to demand greatness.
Demand more.
You have to
That's
demand
right.
greatness. Let's, long story short, Truth Brothers is put it right there. Demand greatness, people.
That's right. I mean, Take your job. Take your children. Take their grades. Push them to the highest level that they can go. Push yourself to the highest level that you can go.
All right.
And just do your best, man, and just take things to its furthest extent, you know.
Okay.
And we gonna just about wrap this up. So go ahead and give our shout outs and thank yous.
All right. First off, we gotta give our thank yous to Black Dynamite, Afian Crockett, College Humor for the iPhone. And we had to thank the snippet that we did was brought to us by Big Sean and Nicki Minaj. Also, we gotta say wanted to say good luck to Anthony Davis. I didn't get to watch the game. I'm sure you did good. And happy birthday, Mamiya, and get well, Armani. This has been a G Network production.
That's right, and this is Ray from the Truth Brothers signing off, saying peace.
Two fingers, and if you're not down with the Truth Brothers,
the truth ain't in you. Peace,
catch
y'all.
Catch you next week.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Truth Brothers Radio.
Hey yo, my silent moments, loud as the crack of thunder. My hunger like the crocodile that attacks a hunter. It ain't commercial or underground, it's truth. Cause I'm good. Call a skill, call a game, call a glow, call my name. Like the law, all the veins, screaming like you want a pain. Treat it like a drug, all up in your veins, huh? Yeah.